Welcome back to Sundial on WLRN. I'm Luis Hernandez. Sabrina Fulton is fully committed to the issue of combating gun violence and supporting families of those who've lost a loved one to a shooting. She lost her son, Trayvon Martin, back in 2012. The story gained national attention as the shooter, George Zimmerman, was later acquitted of the charges. Fulton started the Trayvon Martin Foundation that same year and continues the work to this day. She recently announced her candidacy for the Miami-Dade County Commission. She's running for District Seat 1 against Miami Gardens Mayor Oliver Gilbert. Mrs. Fulton joins us now in studio. It is a pleasure. Thank you so much for the time today.
Thank you for having me.
Let's start with this. Why do you want to run for Miami-Dade County Commission?
One of the things that reasons why I want to run is because I want to make sure that I'm representing the people of Miami-Dade County. I work with Miami-Dade County government for over 20 years, about 24 years until the untimely death of my son through this tragedy. And since that time, I have been, you know, traveling a lot to different cities, to different communities and meeting with different people. And one of the things I thought about myself is to make sure I take care of home first. And so that's why I want to bring my talent, bring everything, my experience from working with the county over 20 years, bring that back to Miami-Dade County. I'm a people's person. And I believe that I could be the voice for the people. I don't consider myself a career politician. I don't want to fall into that category because usually career politicians, you see pretty much hear the same things. You see the same things and nothing changed. So I'm going to bring that fresh new eyes and fresh new ideas, fresh new vision to District 1 so that people can have some type of hope for change.
And you, as you said, you had been working with Miami-Dade County Public Works for many years, right?
Well, I work with public housing.
Public housing.
So that's one of my platforms as well. I'm interested in affordable housing, homeownership, rentals, and things like that, making sure that those things are affordable for people who live in District 1, and not just District 1, but the district as a the county as a whole. So it's very important that, you know, people are able to live so they don't continue to move to Broward County and other parts of the, you know, of the state of Florida. And so that's one of the things. I also work for transit a little bit. I also work for Miami-Dade Aviation as well.
So let's hit on what we're going to hit on a couple of these topics, housing and transit. I want to start with the issue of gun violence because it's played such an important part of your life for because of a sad tragedy. And I wanted you, first of all, just to explain to people so they know about the Trayvon Martin Foundation and what you've been doing with the foundation over the years.
So one of the things that I, you know, pride myself on is just staying focused on what I need to do. So, of course, a lot of people know about my tragedy that happened with my son, Trayvon Martin, but I want to turn that pain into purpose. And that's what I've done. I've made sure that I reached out to other families who are victims of senseless gun violence. And I want to bring change because I understand how those parents feel. So that's just one thing that, you know, amongst others that I want to make sure that I bring to the table. Through the Trayvon Martin Foundation, we've created a scholarship program where we send two students to college and we give them grant money for them to pay for their education while they're in school. And so that's very important. We award that each year, once in the fall and once in the spring. And so, you know, we're very proud of that program. We have a back to school event. I have another event that I'm, you know, very proud of, and that's the Circle of Mothers. I bring mothers in from all over the United States who are victims of senseless gun violence, who have a child that died through senseless gun violence. And we come together, we grieve, we laugh, we cry, we hug, we do all of those things that women do. You know, it's really personal, you know, and that's why I don't do much advertising. But most of the high profile families that you've heard of course, have been to the Circle of Mothers. But it's about bonding. Then it's about knowing that you have someone on your side, that you're not going through this tragedy alone, because we all have experienced gun violence or we know somebody that experienced gun violence.
If you win this election, you take that seat, what can you do? How do you address the issue of gun violence now as a politician? And again, District 1, just to remind people, includes Miami Gardens, Opa-locka, and some of the hardest hit places for gangs and gun violence. But in that position, what could you do?
I think one of the things that I see, which is a fault of most career politicians, is they brush across what the problem is. They brush across what the fact that there is gun violence in the area and that it comes on the news and we see it on a daily basis. And as a resident of Miami-Dade County, as a resident of District 1, I see it all the time, and I'm frightened by it. I'm scared by it. I don't want to attend certain events because of so much gun violence in that area. One of the things that I would do is get to the core of the problem. If the core of the problem is if gang related, if the core of the problem is people coming from outside the area, coming into the area, we need to find out what the core of the problem is. Other residents that are shooting other residents of Miami Gardens or District 1, then we need to find out what those issues are. If it's retaliation, we need to find out. We need to identify the issues first. And I think instead of covering things up and we continue to see it, it does no good for the community.
Commissioner Barbara Jordan, who's in that seat now, she's term limited, along with Miami-Dade County Mayor Carlos Jimenez, they announced a $2 million plan to combat gun violence in the county. And part of it is enforcement of a curfew. They also want more officers in the streets, and they want direct outreach with gang members. Let me start with the first part, though. A curfew. Do you think that would be effective?
I think anything that we can do that will decrease gun violence is a plus. I think if we have the kids in by a certain time and we see that works, we just need something that's different, something that's a change, because the way that things are being done is not working. And so I commend them for even coming up with a plan such as a curfew or enforcing the curfew. We can't just have the plan. We got to make sure we enforcing the curfew. And so if it makes me as a resident feel more comfortable, then I welcome the program that they have. I think it'll work, but we also have violence in the daytime as well. So we got to make sure we're addressing the problem. We can't just say, okay, everything happens in the evening, everything happens at night, because it doesn't. Sometimes broad daylight, some people are being shot, some people are being killed, they're being robbed, and those things are happening. Those crimes are happening in the daytime. And so what do we do about those? We have to identify the problems and not just cover them up.
You know, they also talked about having more officers on the streets, but right now, what do you see, and what you know, how do you feel about the way law enforcement, I guess, has been dealing with this issue over the years?
I think law enforcement in that particular area or anywhere, they deal with what they have. They're really just getting by on what they have. I think additional officers will help that community. I think if the officers also meet with the school age kids and start meeting with people in the community, start meeting with people that own businesses in that area, I think people will feel more comfortable. And just by having the officers more visible, I think that would help. That would definitely help. But just the officers getting to know the community a little better and the community getting to know the officers. We can't just blame it and say, okay, it's the police officers and that's the issue. I don't believe that. You know, I think the community has a part as well. And I think the community needs to get to know the officers. So they need to have a collaborative effort. Like the community needs to be more knowledgeable. And so the police officers need to be a little more knowledgeable about the community.
You know, in your travels, because you've had the chance to go around the country, have you seen a community where you look at them and say, we should be doing that? Have you seen anything?
Well, I don't
like
have
that?
To go very far. I can go right here in Aventura. When I go there to go to the mall, I'm not worried about being robbed. I'm not worried about being shot. And they don't even have that many police officers in that, you know, in that particular area. I'm not concerned with that. But when I do go into certain areas in North Dade, yes, I am concerned with that. And I think that's the census of most residents in Miami-Dade County, is that, you know, they feel like, okay, I can't go to the ATM. I can't go to the bank. I can't pump gas. At least that's the consensus of women. We don't want to do those things because we don't want to be afraid. I don't want to feel like I have to carry a gun everywhere I go. A gun should be optional to anybody. I have a right to feel safe in my own neighborhood, you know. But as I travel, there are some cities that I feel comfortable. I feel like they are safe, you know.
Again, we're talking with Sabrina Fulton. She's the mother of Trayvon Martin and the director of the Trayvon Martin Foundation. She is also a candidate for the Miami-Dade County Commission District 1 seat. She's running against Miami Gardens Mayor Oliver Gilbert. Again, that is a Barbara Jordan seat, and she is term limited out. You have a tough challenger in Mayor Gilbert in terms of fundraising. He has outpaced you by a wide margin. How are you going to close that gap when it comes to fundraising?
I'm going to work very hard. I just made the announcement on May 20th, so I only have a few weeks under my belt, but I got a good start, and I'm just going to work very hard and just try to convince people that if you want the same thing you've been receiving, if you want the same government, if you want the same career politicians, then that's who you need to vote on. If you want change and you want to make a difference in your community and see some type of improvement and be safe, feel safe in your community, then I'm the person for them.
Now, obviously, he had announced going back earlier, way earlier this year. And I mean, you're talking about the gap is almost 200,000 plus, but I mean, why did you decide now? How long was that process in making the decision for you?
The process was almost a year. I was asked last year about, because we have the documentary and also a book called Rest in Power, The Enduring Life of Trayvon Martin. And so I kind of been on tour with the book. And then the following year, which was last year, 2018, I was on tour with the documentary. And that question came up. And at the time I was thinking about running, I just didn't know what seat I wanted to run for. So I would just tell them that, you know, I'm doing my homework, I'm doing my research, I want to see what's out there. And so a year later, in April, I was speaking with a group of mothers in New York for National Action Network, which is Reverend Sharpton's convention. And I said that as an activist, as a community activist, you have to act. You have to sign petitions. You have to write letters. You have to make calls. You have to do rallies, and you have to run for office. You may have to run for office. And when I said it, something clicked in my body, in my mind, and I felt it. And so I just brushed it off. And then I spoke to a group of kids at a college in Pittsburgh the following month. And I said it again. I said, as an activist, sometimes you have to act. So you might have to write petitions. You might have to sign petitions. You might have to do rallies. You might have to make calls, write letters, or you may have to run for office. And that was the second time I felt that same feeling. And so I had prayed about it, like I said, a year ago. And that was my sign that I was ready to run. So I told no one about it. I just came home. I met with family members and close friends, and I told them what seat. And the reason why I decided on Miami-Dade County Commissioner is because of my years of experience with Miami-Dade County. I feel like I came from the employee perspective. Now I'm coming from the residents' perspective.
Let's talk about a couple of the issues that you're going to be facing, issues for your community. I mean, your district encompasses some of the poorest neighborhoods. Now, we just had a conversation about this Miami Herald series about being priced out of paradise and how housing is just getting out of hand. But for your community, what would a Commissioner Fulton do in trying to bring some of the economic boom that we're seeing in all these other communities to your district? What would you do?
A lot of times people talk about economic development and they talk about new buildings coming up and they talk about jobs, but they're not talking about jobs that actually pay money in order for you to support yourself. That is a major concern for most average residents like myself. Like, I want to make sure that I'm making enough money so that I can pay my bills, so that I can take care, so I can have a place to stay, I can have a car to drive, and all of those things. So I think the jobs that we've been seeing are not making enough money in order for them to support themselves. And that's why they're saying that it's a problem with affordable housing in that area, because we're just not making it affordable for people to live in that area. So they have to move elsewhere. They may come there and work, but they can't actually live in that area. And right, that makes a difference. You want to be able to support yourself with the income if you live right there in that area. And so I think that's one of the problems that I see amongst other problems.
To attract good jobs.
Absolutely. We have to do a little more training. Maybe we need to train some more people and make sure that they're able to make these. I'm not saying just give people jobs, but I'm saying, provide the training for these people and then give them to the positions if they qualify for it.
And the other thing, of course, is housing. So, we just keep seeing more and more buildings. Housing keeps going up. And then, of course, it starts to push into all these other neighborhoods, and then you hear the word gentrification, but it starts to push people out. What do we do? about that.
Working with Miami-Dade County Housing for so many years, I wrote policies and procedures, and then I did hearings for public housing in Section 8. And then lastly, I worked with the residents of Scott Carver that they had moved out. And so I brought these residents back in, had a series of meetings with them in order to get them to move back into this new development. And so one of the things that I notice is a lot of times people get so confused when you don't take them through the full process. So I think that's one of the things have to be explained to people so they understand it. You know, you can't talk over their heads. You need to talk to them so that they understand what they're getting themselves into. I think the housing developments that they have, apartment buildings that is contingent upon your income. Meaning if you make a lot of money, you're able to pay a certain amount. If you're not making that much money, it's impossible for you to pay that amount. So I think they need to make it more affordable. It's called mixed income housing, and you have some different mixed incomes in that same development.
Well, part of it is going to be putting the pressure on developers to create those. And they're just, hey, they see dollar signs.
Well, one thing they can be offered is tax credits, of course, and that'll, you know, pull people into moving into their developments. But I think a lot of times we just have to make it affordable for people. People want to have their own place. They want to live somewhere. Another component is not just rentals, but also home ownership. I think that's very important because when you're renting something, you take care of it a certain way. But when you own it, you really take care of it. You really try to make a difference. You try to make it look nice. You try to upgrade it and do those things because you know you're going to be there. And so I think we need to look into home ownership and trying to find money for people as far as down payments, as far as straightening their credit and find out exactly.
State money, federal money?
Federal money. It could be federal money. It could be local money. But at the same time, I think we just have to help residents so that they can get into those homes.
Let me finish with this. You're speaking to the voters right now. What do you tell them about who you are? This is the chance to introduce yourself to them.
Well, one thing I want to tell residents is that I'm for the people. I may not speak the language of a politician because I don't feel myself as a politician. I feel myself as a regular resident that's trying to help the residents of District 1. And so I just want to be their spokesperson. I have been a spokesperson for my son for the last 7 years. And through the Trayvon Martin Foundation, I have done amazing things through the Trayvon Martin Foundation. But I want to give back to my community. I want to start right at home. I want to give back to my community. I want to make sure some of the things that need to be addressed, like transportation, that they're being addressed. I can look at it with a fresh new pair of eyes. I'm not looking at it as a politician and saying, okay, well, it's business as usual. I want to know why some things have not occurred. I want to know why some improvements are not in certain areas. I want to know why some things have not been investigated. And so I speak for the people. And so one of the things that I'm going to make sure I do even before I get in office is meet with a lot of residents because I want to hear their concerns. I know that I have problems with my taxes. They're too high. I have problems with traffic. It's too much traffic. I have problems with me feeling safe in my own community. And so do they. But I want to listen to our elderly residents. I want to know from them, do you have enough programs? I want to know from the kids, do you have enough summer programs? And that's a big deal.
Sabrina Fulton, she is, again, one of the two candidates running for Miami-Dade County Commission District 1. Her opponent, Miami Gardens Mayor Oliver Gilbert. Lots of time before the election. Love to have you back so we can talk about more of those. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
All right, still to come, we're going to talk about why Miami-Dade and Broward deal with such high rates of HIV cases and what we could do about that. It's coming up next here on Sundial.